Would you pray with me? Amen. Lord, the wonder of God becoming a human being is staggering. It's fantastic. It's marvelous. So I pray that that truth would just unfold in our hearts in a way that might even bring change. And thank you, God, that it is possible for us to change. And if we're struggling in life and just really going through some things, that there really is power available because of Christ. So speak to each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. Let us have an encounter with you, the living God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight is part three of a Christmas sermon series. We've been asking the question, what if God was one of us? And so there was a famous song back out in the 90s that asked that very question, and it became a number one hit in many countries. And so what if God was one of us, just a slob on the bus, you know, and just talked about if God was a human being? Well, in fact, that's the story of Christmas, is that God became a human being. And so just to catch you up this morning, it's been that kind of week, people. In week one, last week, we talked about kind of the theological side of the equation, that Jesus existed eternally as God the Son. Philippians 2 says that though being in the form of God, which doesn't mean like that he was like God or close to God, it means that he was God. Okay, then thought it not robbery to be equal with God, which another way of saying that he's equal with God, then he emptied himself. So that's a controversial thing, but in reality, Jesus emptied himself of his prerogatives and chose to live in obedience to the Father while he walked the earth as fully God and fully man. And so we hit that hard. And then yesterday we talked about the uniqueness of God being a human. His glory, you wouldn't look at him and go, oh, that's got to be God in a human being. There was nothing special about his appearance. So his glory was hidden underneath a very plain package. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, when it says that the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us, that word dwelt means to pitch a tent. So Jesus, God the Son, pitched a tent. A tent is something that's plain on the outside. The perfect picture is the Old Testament tabernacle, which was a tent, literally, that housed the religious furniture that was used for the rituals and the ceremonies for the children of Israel and all of that. And inside was the Holy of Holies. And it was glorious on the inside. All kinds of intricate weavings and gold furniture. And all, it was beautiful, but on the outside it was plain. There was nothing special about Jesus' appearance, contrary to all the movies, where you have the flowing locks guy with product in his beard and he's pretty. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 53:2 says that there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. And then we talked about Jesus being the ultimate reality. See, there's a narrative over your life, and you have a narrative. What life is, what is the ultimate answer to this thing? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Where am I going? What happens 100 years from now when this body has ceased from functioning? What is the story that you've adopted to, you know, tell the big story? Is it some hodgepodge of, well, maybe reincarnation, maybe this, maybe that? Well, Jesus, God, becoming a human, opened up the window to ultimate reality. And so when he did miracles in the book of John, he was showing us what ultimate reality is. When he fed the 5,000 with two fishes and loaves, he then taught after that, saying, I am the bread of life. You see, if a human being like you and like me is gonna be reconciled to God and so on, we have to receive Christ, we have to consume him metaphorically. And that's a thing that some of you probably haven't done. You haven't come to the place where you put your faith in Jesus and said, yes, Jesus Christ, I believe in you as my Savior. And you're going to have an opportunity at some point tonight to do that. When Jesus opened the blind eyes in John 8, he then taught how he was the light of the world. If you want to truly understand what life is about, if you go into a dark room, you to find out what's in the room, you have to turn on the light. Then you'll know the truth about what's in the room. Listen, to understand life, this dark world that we live in, the light has to go on so you can see it for what it really is. Jesus is the light of the world. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he then taught, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus, God becoming a human, showed us what real reality is, what ultimate reality is. Well, tonight, we'll look at the question from one more angle. We won't go long. If God became a human being, then it stands to reason that God, as a human being, would not only be the perfect human being, but also what all human beings are meant to be. So you follow that? If God became a human being, then it stands to reason that God, as a human being, would be a perfect human being. And this is what relates to us, that all human beings are meant to be like him. Okay? So, one day Jesus took Peter and James and John up to a mountaintop, probably Mount Hermon in the northern part of Israel. They got to the top, and Peter and the guys were wiped out, and so they took a nap. Peter wakes up, and he sees Jesus shining. His face, the Bible says, was shining like the sun. It was so brilliant. His clothes, light was coming out of his clothing. It was like crazy. And not only that, but Moses and Elijah were with Jesus. They were glowing like Jesus was as well. And they talked to him, to Jesus. Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus about what was going to happen just a few days from then in Jerusalem. They were having a deep conversation about the plan for Jesus' life. And here's what it says in Luke 9:28. We pick it up. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John, James, went up. I said, John, Peter, John, James. No, I did it. I said it right. Went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So Jesus, he had talked about his impending death to his disciples, but they never got it. They never understood it. They never embraced it. And so I think Jesus wanted to talk to somebody that would believe him. You moms and dads probably, if you have a day with the kids, like from the minute you wake up, you're with the kids, like at some point you're going, could I have an adult conversation? Can I just like step out for a cup of coffee with a buddy or with my spouse or whatever? And I think that was going on with Jesus. He's tried to talk to the disciples about this, and they're not having it. So Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus about what's coming in Jerusalem. Why were they glowing? In effect, the tent was being opened. The canvas was being lifted. The glory was being revealed. Some people have said, well, Jesus was showing his deity. Well, no, that's not true. He was showing his glorified humanity, just like Moses and Elijah were. And this is the destiny of God's people. And we'll talk about that. Jesus was letting the boys have a peek. So this has profound implications for us, for you as a human, for me as a human. So that the first thing I want to say to us tonight is change is possible. Change is possible for you. You may feel like you've been stuck in a rut, and you've got just some bad habits that are robbing your life, and you're going, man, I can't change. I can't get out of this. Listen, change is indeed possible, very possible. In Matthew 17, describing the same event that we just read of in Luke 9, it describes what happened to Jesus by saying he was transformed. transfigured before them. That means changed from the inside out. Metamorpho in the Greek, metamorphosis is the word we get in our English. So there was a metamorphosis that happened at the transfiguration. And the same word is used in Romans 12:2, where it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There it is, metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So be changed from the inside out. Then again in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another degree. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So change is happening in God's people to one degree or to another. And that change happens from the inside. True change doesn't happen in our life from outward pressure. It happens through inward power. True change doesn't come from trying to observe a set of laws or a set of rules and regulations. It comes from beholding the Lord. What happened when God let Moses take a look at his glory? Some of you might remember this story in Exodus. Moses wanted to see God. He asked God, can I see you? And God said, nope, nobody can see me and survive. You will be incinerated immediately, essentially, God was saying. But here's what I'll do, Moses. I'm going to have you hide in the cleft of the rock, put my hand over, and I'm going to pass by. And you're going to be able to take a look at the Bible says hinder parts, however you want to, you're going to take a look after I pass by, and you're going to see. You're going to see some glory. So he was hid in the cleft of the rock. God passes by. Moses looks at the glory of God. He comes down the mountain from this experience, and everybody's like, whoa, they're backing away from Moses. And Moses is like, what did I do? What's wrong? He didn't know it, but he was glowing. He was shining like on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it was freaking everybody out. I would freak out too. Somebody walks in there and they're like, woo, whoa, what is that? And so Moses had to cover his face with a veil so he wouldn't just cause people to go running when he came. And listen, you may be discouraged because you feel like, you Christians, you feel like, man, I wish I was more spiritual than I am. I would like to change. I would like to get beyond this and over that and, this behavior and that bad habit and all the rest. Listen, be encouraged. The secret to change, it's not the five steps to this and the read this book and do the, it's simple. It's worship Jesus. It's find yourself at his feet often. That's essentially what's happening here tonight. People gathering to exalt Jesus. We're sensing the presence of God. I am. I don't know if anybody else. Anybody sensing God's presence in this place tonight? So we're in the presence of the Lord. God speaks. God moves through praise and worship. And there's an impact upon us. It's the person who thinks they've got it all together that's in danger. The one who feels that they've arrived, that has the real problem. As long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you start to rot. That's the way it is in spiritual life. Listen, be encouraged. The key to true spiritual growth is simple. Seek the Lord. Be a worshiper of God. Love him. Behold his glory. As you do, you can't help but experience the transforming work of the Spirit. But now, wait a minute, Fatness. I had such a horrible week. I did some stuff I'm not proud of and got a little carried away to Christmas party, whatever. You're going, I think I'm a hypocrite. I shouldn't even be here tonight. That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is pretending that you are all spiritual and got it together when in fact your life is a wreck. But you're letting everybody know that you are something. You're a hypocrite. But if you come in here and you're hurting, you're going, man,
I need help. My life is out of control. I don't feel worthy to be in church. That's not hypocrisy. Your heart is blessing God tonight, no matter what you did last week. A humble and a contrite heart, he will not despise. He loves it. This is not a hospital, or a museum rather, for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. That's what the church is. There's a famous statue of Christ over in Denmark made by Bertel Thorvaldsen. And you've seen it. I was going to get a picture for us. I failed to do that. Reference to the rough week I mentioned. So the original statue, it's in Denmark in a Protestant cathedral in Copenhagen. And the story goes about this guy, Bertel Thorvaldsen. This was the early 1800s. He wanted to make a glorious statue of Christ. And so he did. And he fashioned it. And it was a big, they called it the heroic size. It was about 10 and a half feet tall. And it was beautiful. Arms raised up, head, you know, high and so on. He left it for a few days to dry. And when he came back to the studio where he did his work, something interesting had happened. The arms fell, the head drooped, and Thorvaldsen went in and thought, oh, it's ruined. I don't know what to do. And he was so frustrated, and he left there and he didn't come back for quite a while. Till finally, he and a friend decided to go back to the studio where he had fashioned the statue, and they walked in, and something amazing happened at that point. The sunlight was filling the studio at that point, at that time of the day, and so the statue itself was bathed in light, and he sees the arms down, but now in his mind, it's not, you know, drooping and dejected, it's compassion and mercy. Jesus inviting the hurting and the helpless to come to him. The head that had been held high and, you know, courage and majesty drooping was not a droop of depression, and it was a droop of mercy and kindness. And Thorvaldsen left the statue just as it was. And you know the interesting thing about that statue? Because of the way the head bowed, the only way, from any angle, you can see the hands, you can see it. The only way that you can look into the eyes of Jesus is if you get on your knees right in front of the statue. Gang, listen. The only way that we can behold the glory of Jesus Christ is to bow before him in worship. Mary understood that. We read of her three times in the Bible, and each time she's found at the feet of Jesus. And it was there that she poured out the ointment in that alabaster box on his feet and over his head, and it drew the criticism of Judas, how wasteful, pouring out thousands of dollars like that. And Jesus rebuked them all. And it's interesting that Mary seemed to be the only one who understood that Jesus was close to his death, that he was going to die and be buried. She was anointing him for burial. Why did only she understand that? Because she was the one who was spending time at the feet of Jesus, looking into his eyes, hearing his heart. We all with unveiled face do behold the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God came and pitched his tent among us. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it was that inner glory that John, who was so close to Jesus, knew so well. The love, the mercy, the purity, the holiness that continually flowed out from Jesus. That was glorious, to be sure. John 1:16, his fullness have we all received, grace for grace. I love that word fullness. It means an inexhaustible supply. Imagine needing a bucket of water and you go down to Shoshone Falls at peak flow to get your bucket filled by the waterfall. That's the idea. There is so much grace in the heart of God that no matter what your need is, God's grace is greater. There's more supply. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how bad it's gotten, there's more grace than what you could possibly need tonight. Grace upon grace. The last thing that I will say to us tonight is that not only is change possible, but change is inevitable. If you're a believer tonight, no matter how bad you've been struggling, whatever, change is inevitable. You're on a collision course with Christlikeness. In one sense, it's unavoidable. Romans 8:29, we are predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. Predestined. John 3:2, beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's coming. Romans 8:18, I consider our present sufferings not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed in us. Glory. You mean I'm going to be glorious? Yes. You're going to be amazing. That's what that means. We're going to be much more impressive than we are right now. We're going to be a lot smarter. We're going to be completely pure. We're going to be fully joyful. We're going to be utterly grateful. We're going to have bodies that will never go through sorrow or pain. We'll have powers and abilities beyond our imagination. That's in the future for all of God's people. I think there's a reason that humanity is fascinated with superheroes. I think everybody has an innate sense that we're limited, that there's limitations upon us. And there is limitations. There will be a spectacular transformation eventually for all who trust in Christ. And it's our ultimate destiny and therefore our current trajectory. So we would probably be wise, wouldn't we, to kind of be serious about it now and to go, you know what? I'm sick of this anger problem. I'm sick of yelling at my kids and not being gentle and loving with them. I'm sick of this pornography addiction that I have. I'm tired of it. I feel ashamed. And yet I can't seem to stop it. I'm just sick. I'm sick of overspending. I'm sick of, you know, retail therapy and getting on Amazon so I can just feel good by ordering some stuff. I'm sick of it because it's robbing my life. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was impersonal, carved out of rock, commandments that ultimately condemn us because we fail to keep them. Grace and truth, however, came in the form of Jesus Christ. I fully understand, as we close here tonight, I fully understand that there's some of you here, you're not believers, maybe some of you are seekers, some of you are Christians that have been just not living for God at all, I get all that. Some of you are skeptics that are going, I'm not buying it. Some of you have probably seen hypocrisy in the life of some people who claim to walk with God, I get that. But let me just say this to you. There's no excuse for anybody who claims the name of Jesus to be hypocritical. It's just sin. But God never asked you or me to believe in a person other than Jesus Christ. He's not asking you to put your faith in the person next to you or the person across the street that claims to be a Christian. He's asking you to put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, you will find no hypocrisy in him at all. Let's pray. So, Lord, we want to just take a moment here and invite the Holy Spirit to just do what's needful in each of our hearts and our lives tonight. And Lord, for your kids who have been struggling and going to broken cisterns and drawing and thinking that that's what life is about. If I just go to this and do this, go to this bar and party and do the thing, that's going to fulfill me. And there's just that moment of pleasure, that moment of feeling like there's meaning in this, but then it's gone. And relationships. And so, Father, I pray for your kids that have been run into the wrong wells, and I pray that tonight might be a night to go, Lord, I love you, and I know that you're my satisfaction ultimately. God, help me. Lord, for the skeptics in the room that have just tried to pick apart this whole thing and intellectually sort of dismantle and deconstruct, and at the end of it all, it's really, what do we believe about Jesus? And it's not so much the evidences and the this and the that. But as Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? That is the question upon which our eternity swings. So, Lord, would you draw those who need you tonight? Lord, for those who are just going through difficulty at this Christmas season, Lord, would you be the lifter of their heads tonight? Lord, for those who need a healing in their bodies tonight, we pray that you would provide healing. Grace upon grace in this place tonight, Lord. Would you touch every single person? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to invite those of you, this is an invitation, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want you to consider doing that right now. Not faith in me, not faith in the church, not faith in any other human being, but faith in Jesus Christ, who the Bible declares is God become man, on mission to pay for our sins. As God, he's the only one who could possibly pay for the sins of the world. Then rising from death, conquering it, and now offering anyone who would come to him, anyone, whosoever will, come to me, Jesus says. You are a whosoever. And so if you're ready to trust in Jesus tonight, I want to pray with you. And if that's you, would you raise your hand? And we'll pray in just a moment. All right. Thank you, God. Do you want your sins forgiven? And do you want to be reconciled to the God who made you? Do you want to discover the ultimate reality and meaning of life? All right. God bless you. Right back here. Anyone else? Before we pray. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you are a believer that's been struggling in life and you want renewal in your life tonight, the Lord wants to bless you and reinvigorate you. Would you raise your hand as well? Just raise it up just for a moment. God bless you and you. God bless you and you and you. And you. God bless you. Bless you guys, all of you raising your hand. All right, thank you, Lord. Does anybody, would anybody like to be healed in their body tonight? See, you have something right here. God bless you. Maybe God would heal you tonight if you ask. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. All right. Father, I first of all, I pray for those who have said yes to put their faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, for those who raise their hand, that this would be the moment where they come to know you in a saving way. If you raised your hand tonight to receive Christ, to put your faith in him, pray this prayer right where you're seated. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You died on the cross for me. You rose from the dead. I receive you now by faith as my Savior and as my Lord. Now help me to walk with you in your name. For those of you who said, I just haven't been walking with God and I want renewal in my life. I want reinvigoration. Listen, let me pray for you. Lord, right now you saw all those hands across this auditorium going, man, I'm struggling. So Lord, would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, reinvigorate my brothers and my sisters who have been struggling, and God, bring the internal change, the power on the inside, and that they would just focus on loving you, seeking you. And as they do, Lord, that they would experience the transformation. So, Lord, bring revival and renewal to all who have raised their hands for that. And finally, Lord, you saw all the hands of people who need physical healing tonight. And so, Lord, together we pray in this room in agreement for healing for our brothers and sisters, for their bodies, whatever it may be, the cancers, the flu, the disease. Lord, we pray for healing. So, Lord, would you do that? Grace upon grace tonight for your people. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.